Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. And I think you're a paradigm shifter, or you wouldn't be listening to this stuff, would you? To me, a paradigm shifter is someone who's really dedicated to shifting the way we think as a species, the way we tolerate one another, the way we see the future, the way we work with the planet. Shift the way we used to do it so we can take advantage of some amazing frequencies out there. You are an energy person. I am an energy person. We're energy first and we download into the physical second. And with all these new frequencies moving in through the universes, I find it quite amazing. We can reach up with our mind as a sculpting tool, and we can draw down, use your imagination for this part, draw down several of the new frequencies, bring them in through your body, mind, and consciously run them through your heart and your organs. And what I understand about that is if I am an energy being and I add new strands of energy or new frequencies to my body, mind, I also add new potential, don't I? I can make changes. I can actually design myself differently because I have different fabric. Does that make sense? And now I call it kind of evolving stuff. But one of the things that's been bothering me, and I think they tie together, and I'm going to take your calls so that we can discuss it with more detail. One of the things that's bothering me a lot on our planet is that there's so much separation. And we live in a family-based society, or at least we did. And I've noticed amongst a lot of my clients and people I know and so on that the family is in a state of terrible disruption. We get a lot of young women disliking their mothers in a major way. Get a lot of kids in their teenage years pushing away from the family. Now, you could say that's logical, but there's something else going on. And I wonder if it's, well, maybe I won't put in some of my theories. What I'd like to do is to have you call in and say what you think about what's causing dissonance amongst people. Why is the family coming apart? And if it isn't the family that we're talking about, why is our society so full of animosity to one another? Do you think it always has been? In my Pollyanna heart and in my intuitive nature, I always wanted to do radio shows, for example, like this, so that you could radiate out of these machines and actually send frequencies of peacefulness, frequencies of recognition, frequencies that help people to get along, not only just get along, but frequencies that would help people take advantage of new frequencies and move their consciousness up. And you and I have heard lots about that there's a shift going on, and that shift is promising all kinds of huge changes for people on our planet. So somewhere in the mix, our kids, our exes, our families are pulling apart and being really mad at each other, and there's an awful lot of dissonance. So I'd really like to talk about it with you. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 888. You probably can see the number right on your screen, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. And with my guides and angels and my own experience as an intuitive and as a counselor, we're going to work with you and answer your questions on what you think is going on out there. And is there any way we can bridge all that and create bridges into the future, meaning bridges into a kind of a society that is a win-win society for all? Do I have any callers yet, Dawn? And if I don't, well, I guess we just have to keep talking for a bit.
Actually, not quite yet. Nobody's called in, but folks, feel free to call in. You know the number. Give us a call.
Right. Okay, it's 888-627-6008. And I'll do a thing that I like to do, which is fun. I'm going to look out as an intuitive, look out across the fields of people that are listening, millions of people that are listening, and I'm going to pick on somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to see, well, actually, I'm seeing more than one that fits this description. I'm seeing a woman, and she's a mature woman, and she has found herself isolated, even though she has a rather large family. And the family has pushed her out. I'm looking at her and going, why? I feel like this woman has tried to do things. Let me see here. She's tried to do things really well. Now, what's interesting is she came from a challenging, kind of a rustic family, a family that's been out probably what looks like homesteading. She grew up in that, and she has a little group of children who are now in their 30s and 40s who have all alienated themselves from her. I'm trying to see what that's about. And I feel like this, that there's a... especially for the second one. But there's a judgment coming on this woman, from especially from her daughters and also from one son. And the judgment is that she never did make it. She never did make the money. She never did provide the kind of a life that they dreamed of having. And they felt that she was, and also one of the things about her is that she keeps herself tight, that she's really quiet about what her dreams are. So she seems a little, to them, kind of martyrish, or putting up with what she shouldn't put up with.
We have a Stephanie. Stephanie from Los Angeles, line one.
Oh, goody. Stephanie's on the line. So I will not continue with this woman right now, but we'll get back to her after this call. Hi, Steph. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Veronica.
Hi. Do you have comments to make on what's going on amongst people these days?
Well, the thing that I've been thinking about, I've been thinking a lot about what children expect from their mothers specifically, because I'm watching my father die, and he had,
he kind of
proudly says that he will never forgive his mother, which of course
now
is
that's
horrible
interesting.
Yeah, and it's horrible for him. I mean, like, you know, it's also horrible for her, but she's long dead, and it's much worse for him. And I'm actually just going to ask this question and then let you sort of take it from there. I think we just, wait, actually, this isn't a question, it's a statement. I am beginning to think that as much as we have a natural and organic connection to our mothers, I wonder if there's something in society that makes us believe that everything should be coming through our mother, and that if she doesn't give us everything, that she's a failure or that she betrayed us somehow. Because when I look around today, and especially right now, as I see so many of my friends who are very privileged and have a lot of opportunities to be able to provide for their kids and be around them, but still so much is expected of them, like really everything is expected of them. And they feel that. And I think that's really unrealistic. And I'm wondering why. I mean, the mother is primary, but why does she have to do and be everything? That just seems impossible.
Well, obviously, she's going to have to fail at a lot of things if she's going to try to be everything, right?
Right.
But I look at your grandmother, your dad's mother, and I go, that woman, now this is really relevant to a lot of people that we know, Stephanie, or not that we maybe know in person, but that we see in the society, is that she was very, not only unfulfilled, but she was very powerful, very strong, and very denied. Nothing that she wanted was allowed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that bitterness really pushed her son not only away, but pushed him into himself to be not, forgive me for saying this about your own father, but it pushed him inside of himself so that he couldn't bloom as himself. He was always sort of trying to make up for what, do you see what I mean? He's very, very creative and very sensitive. And he was always trying to make up for what might or might not work in the world, in his world. And that's like hopping from one foot to the other all your life, isn't it? And I think he was kind of bitter about it when he was young. Is he still bitter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think he can remember a lot less these days. So in some ways that might be better. Well, actually, I can't say that. He remembers mostly things from the past. He just can't remember things that are present very much.
And was she abusive?
Well, she certainly wasn't nice. The things she was strict. She'd get mad at him a lot. I just remember my mom met her only twice, and the first time that she met her, she yelled at my dad about a book that he had borrowed.
And, oh my and, gosh!
Yeah, and that was the first time that she met my dad's wife, was, you know, yelling at him about some book that he'd borrowed. And she was mad because there was a space on the shelf where the book belonged, and it wasn't there.
But we all know enough about that. That rigidity makes a person absolutely tense inside, don't you think? And,
yeah.
And the guy, the guys are showing this as an interesting thing, which is your dad was benefiting. Isn't this strange? Because the guys are saying he was benefiting in a very peculiar way about completing something with her. You know, I've been talking a lot about karma these days, and I feel like there was tremendous karma there. And it wasn't just him with his mother. It's something in the lineage that he has cleared or he is clearing. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I see him being indecisive about who he is allowed to be. And yet he was sort of mirthfully creative a lot of the ways. But deep down, there's a kernel of not being able to be himself, not being allowed. And I think that's really clearing as he loses his focus on the normal three-dimensional world. It's almost like that is healing. Does that make sense?
Yes, that actually really does. I've seen a real light. Really, actually, you know, in the moments when he's not scared, he feels really joyful. Like his energy feels really joyful.
Well, I think the good side, and this is not logical because a lot of the stuff that's intuitive isn't particularly logical, but he's gaining whatever that karma was with not just his mom, but something to do with his lineage. He's gaining the freedom from that right now. And you being very intuitive yourself and very intelligent and very poetic, you would be fascinated by watching for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I actually really like hearing all of this because I don't feel like this has been a horrible, I don't feel like it's been the horrible thing that I expected with him losing his sort of material world mind.
Yeah.
It's actually been sort of amazing to watch him.
Isn't that something? And you have your own spiritual journey really strongly. And so they're showing, I mean, this is for everybody at home to consider too, is they're showing that the connection between a very difficult mother, meaning she kind of betrayed him, she didn't protect him, she made it really hard for him to be him. A lot of that, there's wonderful spirit flow coming right through to him and actually through her to him. So she at some level is helping to flow this freedom to him, because you know this as well as I do, that once we get the freedom in ourselves from karmic things, it goes all the way up into the ethers to the others that are connected to it, doesn't it?
That's a really wonderful thing to think about.
It's a thing to paint or to sketch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, bless you for calling in. That's a great way to start the show.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Okay, and thanks. Blessings to your dad and your mom.
Thank
She's
you.
Going through it too. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Bye.
Bye. And I want to say one other thing that we do with karmic thing. I do a meditation often 3 times a week, and a number of us get together on Zoom. And one part of the meditation, it's got all these different segments, and one part of the meditation is going in and clearing attachments to people with whom we have contracts. So I want to do just a mini version of the meditation now, so that if you have any sense of being, and very often family, I tie back into family, very often family has members who are karmically attached or meeting each other over and over or meeting each other purposefully in this lifetime to either get even or to complete something, or to just love each other. We don't know, but often there's familiar tie-ins. So I'm thinking that it would be really good for all of us, those of you just listening, to focus on somebody that you would really like to, or let's do it this way, someone that you think you've got a karmic attachment to, all right? And just focus on that person. Good, if you've got it clear. See yourself in a structure. And the structure, for those of you who know your sacred geometrics, can be a star tetrahedron, which is like a three-dimensional Star of David, goes forward, back, side to side, all these different points. And it's the same shape, or it is, your Merkaba, which is your light body. And when you can spin it and spin it and spin it, even though it's a part of you or it's an energetic part of you and it's outside of you, you can envision or meditate on it spinning and spinning and spinning. Can you do that? Set it up all around your body, mind, your star tetrahedron. Oh, and let's call in our angels and guides. And let's also call in a beautiful violet flame and see the violet flame burning and pulsing and burning and pulsing round and round and round your room, round and round and round your room until your room is sparkly transformed, because the violet flame just transforms what's left in there. And now back to our star tetrahedron. Once again, keep it spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning until you get as fast as the speed of light. And now you're in this spinning vehicle. And I want you to perceive, however you do, someone that you've got a karmic bond with or a karmic contract with or just a contract, whatever you can perceive that you can really feel and know. And often that bond will appear in a pulling, kind of a pulling or an attachment that feels like it pulls on you, or one that you can't live without even though you're finding it very inconvenient. Okay, so you pull in someone inside of this amazing spinning vehicle of light. Okay, you pull that person in and feel and see in your own body all the energy of that contract. It's funny, the word contract means literally to contract, to make smaller, right? Even though we know it's like a written commitment. Now what we want to do is see this spinning in the spinning and spinning vehicle. Let's tear up our contract. In our spinning vehicle, being a meditation center, the other thing to do that's a really good idea is to look at the person with whom you're contracted and say, I would like to release our contract. Is that okay? Now the person will say, maybe, say, most people want to say yes, like please get me undone. But if they say no, remember that the frequencies are moving at such a rate these days, the guides give us full permission to release our end of any contract. So if they say no, you say, okay, thank you, and then release it anyway. There we go. And as we release the contract, I want you to spin and spin and spin. And then when you spin and spin and spin, and when you're ready, come back into the room, into the radio room.
We have Amber from Los Angeles, line one.
Oh, goody, Amber from Los Angeles. Amber, are you clearing your... Welcome to the show. Welcome.
Welcome. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't interrupt the meditation. I wasn't sure. I didn't want to bone the meditation. It was really good. I just called and thought I'd be on hold longer. But thank you for the meditation.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, you did just perfectly. But also,
That's me. Forgive me, ladies. I don't know my timing. You know, I'm not sure when someone's speaking, doing a meditation, singing, dancing, laughing, or crying. But forgive me.
We all did fine. Anybody who's emerging from a burned down paradise has got to be okay.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, Amber, I'm so glad you called in. Do you have any relationships that you would consider karmic? Or the other thing is, do you have any family issues you want to talk about? Or the third thing is, do you have any theories about what's going on to disrupt our families so dangerously these days? That's a pretty broad selection.
I have something for all of those content buckets.
Good.
I will start with what's destroying family, I think, is capitalism/commerce. I believe that our own propaganda, so to speak, would be our advertisement. And it's been brainwashing us that we're not whole and we're not good unless we have X, Y, and Z. And to harken back to your earlier conversation that you had, you were talking about how, and the caller, like, moms feel like they have to be everything, and then people get largely, massively disappointed. And I think that's because we're women are expected to provide way too much crap because you see it on TV. You know, I think about my grandmother and my mom. It's like there wasn't really an expectation. It was like home and go to school. You know what I mean? It was different in the 40s and 50s. Now it's like you have to provide your kid with everything. And we're getting this information from our media and advertising. And it's driving people crazy. It's driving people away from each other.
And also the same women have to both work and be at home all at the same time, right?
Yeah, and it's impossible. Mm-hmm. It isn't. It is not possible. I don't know if people can have it all and provide everything. So I think that's part of what it is.
Would you say that's global?
I don't know. I don't know what it's like in other countries. It's certainly like in the Western world, I would say United States. I don't know if it's the same in Mexico or Canada or other places. But like when I romanticize other countries, I think that they have more of a connection with their family. You know, if you have a crazy mom, you have aunts and uncles and grandma and everyone else comes over so much that it tempers it out. So that you can see your mother differently. Where here we isolate, and it's like mom and maybe a husband, and you don't talk to all the relatives or the neighbors, and no one's helping. So it gets to be this really small, myopic craziness, you know?
Whose goals are radiating from the television in a way.
Mm-hmm. So what's radiating from the TV?
The goals that we're aiming for. We don't know our goals anymore. Like you said, your grandmother and various people were creating home, right?
Yeah. And it was just different. And you would lean into other family members. Now people aren't leaning into their aunts and uncles and cousins. And it's just really isolating. And then when you get isolated, you pick apart people. You don't have that, you know, I'm thinking about my mom and I have, or I am estranged from my mother. And would I have been as hard on her if I had my grandmother around more or more aunts and uncles that were over more to cause a distraction and also to give me attention, you know?
Mm. And to broaden your awareness of family, right?
Right. And these are the other people in the family, you know, and these are the people that could take care of you, or if you're lonely, you can call or whatever. So
what do you think of, like, for example, the healing of that? What do you think of karma? What do you think of, is it a social construct that we're talking about, or is it possibly a shift because we're trying to evolve? What do you think of all that?
I don't know about karma. I don't know about a social shift. If there is a social shift going on, I don't think that it's a positive one. Because I think, I don't think in America that people are really, there's pockets of people that connect to their families, and those people probably have a successful, more easier life if you're connected with your family. Because you just have more people that support you and that are cheering for you.
whether that family is a group of friends or actual family. But I think people have less and less of that. So I think that it's whatever's going on is people are becoming more fractured.
That's really interesting. I'm looking at you, you know, I'm kind of peeking into you and I'm going, well, what's really interesting about you is that, and this I think is true for a lot of people these days, not everybody, but some people, that there's something in you that's trying to evolve yourself out of the way it's been. And that, in another way, is a very exciting part of your nature. But in another way, it can push away what would have represented belonging energetic. You know what I'm saying? It would have pushed away the belonging part of families like your mother and so on. There's other reasons that you're not involved with your mother, but when people are evolving inside, and I'm very conscious of the fact that people show up to me as being these spiraling colored lights inside, and when all's clear, they move up, and there's a tendency for our frequencies to move up, and you've got a rather rambunctious version of that going on, and as you see those frequencies sticking out of your body, I don't see your mother being able to tune into that. Do you see what I mean? So essence of our evolution, sometimes we literally push other people away as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was driving to work today and, you know, I think about my mom's side of the family, and I had two cousins that had kids, one at 14 and one at 15. And then all those kids had kids, and like there's four generations literally from my cousin, who was like 10 years older than me. I know she was like 7 years old. You know what I mean? In that time, they've had four sets of going on. And just then I think about my dad's side of the family and the different people he's adopted and the struggles that they've had. And when I look at their lives, I think I've had the biggest life. I've had an enormous life. You know, I've had this enormous life where I've got to travel and do things and be creative and meet hundreds and thousands of people. And, you know, and then, but when I think of my life compared to people in Los Angeles, then I'm like, I have a tiny life because everyone seems to have a glittier, you know, they've done more, they've seen more, et cetera, et cetera. And it is weird because compared to my family, it's like, I just did such a different thing. They were, I remember when I moved to San Francisco when I was young, they were like, what do you do there? And I was like, I'm a receptionist. And I'm like, I work in a big building. They're like, so you ride the elevator every day?
Oh, wow.
like these are the people, the cousins that had kids in these poor areas and just kept breeding and doing crystal meth and doing drugs and just being shit dicks, really. And like, you know, and they thought, holy crap, she's riding an elevator to work. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
I know, it's just like different realities, huh?
It's different realities. And I would like to think that I could fit in with my family. I'm certainly starting to reach out and trying to reconnect with them now that I don't resent them as much as I did. And, but we'll see.
But let me jump back to the resentment, because I think in a lot of the people that I see, there's a lot of resentment between, for example, mothers and daughters, partly because the mother is vulnerable and the daughter takes it on as a possibility for herself, or that you can't belong because what's intrinsic about each person is very different. But I wonder if that's a tool for evolution. I keep running back to that. It's painful. It's painful because the belonging is missing, right?
It might be, but I think it's horrible. I think that, I mean, I longed to connect with my mother for years and years and years, and just knew that that wasn't a part of her mojo, but it's also just like you give birth to this child and you put a lot of time and energy in it. It's too bad that we can't all connect, you know, and just appreciate what we have and that somebody gave up a lot of their life to take care of us.
I know, it's really a remarkable thing, isn't it? I mean, it's so basic, and yet it's so profound, isn't it? Well, I just want to say to you, Amber, that you've got quite a special light in there, and that light is going to offset your belonging to a dulling group, and yet you ultimately might belong as someone who helps change things for them. I don't know. You know, we don't have to decide that today, because your energy is going in there and flicking them and making them aware of things, just as you were had to be, as you had to become aware. So maybe it's like a little weaving, or like a little chemical formula for transformation in the family. I don't know, but it's what it looks like right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to have my sister come visit, and I'd like to go see my mom, and like, you know, start doing stuff like that. So maybe my change has helped them. But I don't know.
Well, in the meantime, you've been clear that it's been quite hard at times, and we want to acknowledge that for a lot of people who are going through stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling, Amber. It's really good to
talk to
you.
Thank you, and I like
you.
That meditation. I like the star spinning meditation very much.
Good. I think we might do another one, just because. Could you feel the pulling and pushing from people that you're karmically aligned with?
I could feel the star spinning, and I saw my mom pretty clearly. I didn't feel pulling and pushing. I just saw her.
Okay.
I liked it. It felt good.
So the recommendation is, if you're thinking about it, or you're worrying, or you're a little uncomfortable, or you're not sure what to do, spinning it is a good idea. I think it takes away all the lumps and bumps, don't you?
I think so.
Have a good evening, and thank you so much for calling.
You too. Bye, Veronica.
Bye, honey. So that was really interesting, because a lot of people have been, I don't know, induced to leave the family or find they're alienated in their families. Maybe it all gets down to what your soul journey, I mean, this is really hyper simplistic, but what your soul journey is. And some people aren't meant to be kind of cozy and comfortable for years and years. Some people are challenging the entire status quo, aren't they?
I think you're right. And we have Carol from Arizona on line 2, and we also have a Stacy from Seattle, Washington on line 3.
Wonderful. Thank you, Don. Okay. Carol from Arizona, the warm country.
How are you, Veronica?
Wonderful.
I just tuned in, and so I'm going to pick up on what I was just listening to, belonging to the family, I'm presuming. I don't think you have to. I think the concept of a family is genetic, and it doesn't have to be genetic. It can be certainly friends. I think a lot of times children are brought up into a home with one person, two people, and there's no connection. Maybe the parent is, the mother is very cerebral, and the daughter is very heartfelt. So to me, there's not going to be much of a connection, because they're on two different wavelengths. It doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean it's good. It's just two different vibrations. So that's why, unfortunately, we have a lot of, or fortunately, we have a lot of counseling of people maybe in their 20s. Why couldn't they connect, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think we have to connect. Maybe we can call our mother the first name rather than mother. Because if we don't feel it, and there's not that real heart connection, is, again, if the person is very heartfelt, they're not going to feel the connection. And I don't think we have to feel that we have to belong to the genetic family. Maybe there's somebody, an aunt in there, one person, two people that we can connect to. But it doesn't mean that we have to connect to everybody. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a matter of people who we can connect to on a real, real level, whether it's a family, genetic family, DNA, or somebody outside of the DNA. Because
now,
I think we
this.
Get in a lot of trouble with that.
I really appreciate that, actually. Do you think it shows up in our society that's getting a little worse, or a little more helter-skelter, or a lot more venom against each other? Or do you think that just
Well, I think it's a conditioning of society with the family, because we have Thanksgiving. We have holidays that, if you listen to commercials, right, and advertisements, it's all about, quote, the family. But when I was in certainly New York City and I had Thanksgiving, I would invite friends with the DNA or the, you know, genetic family, because everybody to me is a person of, is a family member. Once we, when we say family, we're already, we're kind of like segregating other people. We're just eliminating other people, for instance, for a holiday. Mm-hmm. So to, I'm sorry, you is it becoming more dysfunctional, you said, Veronica?
No, I think it's more chaotic, because I think a lot of people have animosity toward each other, even if they're not family members, you know. Just seems like there's
a lot of technology that does that. I think, unfortunately, this is becoming a very alienated society with technology. So the heart is not connected. So when people see each other in the, quote, the family setting, this is a different vibration. They're looking at somebody, maybe they've been texting the whole time. I mean, this is ridiculous, actually. They've been texting the whole time without really connecting to a deep, deep root spirit level. So I don't think it's, I don't know if it's helping or not helping. I just think technology is creating this alienation from people. And to me, you know, everybody's a family. We live in a family of people, whether it's in this country, whether it's in Afghanistan, whether it's in India, whether it's in Bangladesh. We are all a family. And if we can condition ourselves more and more with advertising, which they're not going to do because they don't make money, condition ourselves with that, then we have more compassion at the same time. Once we're in that realm of simply the genetic family, we lose compassion for other people that are struggling. We're too isolated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, that's a really interesting point. Well, thank you for calling us, Carol, and I hope it's nice and warm there in Phoenix.
Okay, all right.
All right. Take care, honey.
Talk. Bye-bye.
Wow, that's a really interesting thing to think about. What Carol brought up is disconnections that are being created with the help of our technology. And the other thing is creating family that's outside of our genetic bonding. I think that's quite an interesting thing. So that would require being conscious about that as you grow up. But I believe we have another caller talking to us about family and family relationships. Good evening, Stacy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Thank you for calling in. How are you doing with family?
Well, first off, to all of the callers so far, it's so neat to hear these different perspectives. And so it's neat to hear people coming at it from all these directions. I'm estranged from my family of origin for the most part.
Oh.
And I still have connection with my mom, but my aunts, my uncles, my brother, it's another story. And I partly blame that on the fact that I left home and went to a city from a small town. And their lives carried on there, and we just went different paths. But
so there wasn't any animosity.
Well, there was a lot of animosity, but no reason to make up.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
You know, when you're close to someone and you have a cantankerous relationship with them, which I was reminded of when you did the meditation in the middle, where we did someone we have a contract with, and a dear friend of mine who I argue with all the time. We argue and we love each other, and we have a reason to make up. I always wondered about that, but it kind of came to me during that meditation that our relationship, our arguments are about growth. It's really more important for us to see each other's point of view than for someone to win and someone to die.
I like that a lot, actually. That's really powerful, isn't it? And so you argue a lot, but you always love each other enough to get back and figure out what you learned. Is that right?
Dearly, yes, dearly. And the other thing is that we often go to retreats together where there are no cell phones. And so your last guest who mentioned cell phones or technology, I think that that's another piece of it, is that we've grown to know each other deeper because we often spend time together without technology.
Actually, I have a girlfriend like that as well. We don't go on retreats, but we know how to talk. You know, we have used phones because we've lived a long way apart, but not cell phone, just like the phone to connect and then getting deeper and having arguments and so on. It's important. I think learning to disagree or respecting disagreements is a part of it right there, isn't it?
I wholeheartedly agree. And I also realize that I believe maybe because of technology and because of the way that sound bites work and advertising is so permeating of our society right now, that a lot of people don't take the time to get to the end of the argument, get to the end of the disagreement, to really realize that you're two people who love the same, basically probably the same things, but see a different way of getting there.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. It's making me think a lot, you know, like getting to the end of an argument is really... Because some of my favorite people, I'm thinking of one woman in particular, we always have the same, whenever we get together since 1966 when we became friends, we always have the same conversation going on. It's the stream going through our life, right? Do you know what I mean? So thinking
beautiful.
About it, yeah, thinking about a disagreement in the middle of it, well, that would just be part of the stream, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's just a rock or a tree. It makes it more of an adventure, and it also makes you understand more, not less. It makes both of you more, not less.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Both of you give each other some of yourself. So let's extrapolate from that. What's it like for the world? Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh no, go ahead.
I'm just thinking back out into the world. Do you think that it's worse for example, teenagers? Do you think it's worse for young people than it used to be? Is it always the same? Because I remember there were stories of Greek teenagers back in the day of the great philosophers and so on. I just wonder if it's the same thing, or is the crisis being amped up by technology and overpopulation and more are on the streets or whatever that is, yeah?
I was really worried about that as a mother. I was really worried about that with my kids. And I remember getting into arguments with my mother-in-law about how many hours they could watch a movie or watch television or this or that. And then, of course, they ended up with smartphones and laptops and library. If they didn't have those, if I took those away, they'd go to the library. And they'd have it all there. And so there was no way to stop it, technology coming in. But the thing that I guess the piece of it that I love is that both of my kids needed more than I could provide. One is just a global person. He's a global traveler and a tour guide. And he learned how to speak foreign languages by using his cell phone, Duolingo, and
wow,
connected with people all over the place.
Wow.
And my other son is gay, and he really needed to know other people like him. And it especially before it was safe to come out amongst friends. And so I think technology played a good role. For me, it was challenging because I had to get over myself.
But maybe getting over ourselves is the whole core of growing anyway, isn't it?
And the mother piece. I feel like you mentioned rigidity and motherhood in the very first one, and all of these have resonated so much with me. I feel like we have these ideas about what it is to be a mother and ideas about what it is to be a grandmother and what it is to be a daughter. And if we can't be fluid in those roles and at least meet enough mothers and enough daughters and enough grandmothers to appreciate the diversity of that role, then we can become stuck.
It's like gender fluidity, only it's what is it? It's description fluidity or something. Hey?
Yeah. No, we have to be able to bend what that role is in order to be comfortable with what we are and our limitations and what our kids need to get from other places. And yeah,
I think it's really interesting because it's occurring to me that if you, what did you say, bend? So, but if we can let ourselves morph enough to go, we can let ourselves be flexible. It's not like giving up what you are. It's like remolding yourself over and over to understand other ways.
Yeah,
I think
and,
it's a beautiful.
And knowing that you're still important. You're still important. What you have to offer is important. What they need from others is also important. And hoping that the universe provides those other moms, those other people for our kids.
And if we,
believe it takes us up.
When they reach out and stretch out like that and come back, they bring new facets of themselves, don't they?
Yes.
Because I really feel like a lot of the art of being a person is finding out who you really are. And maybe that's what we're talking about, is more and more of them have been offered a kind of a liberation through technology to find out more and more of that. Does that make sense? Oh, they're also maybe subject to being run like little little marketed tools, eh? I really enjoyed your feedback, Stacy. Do you have anything else?
Thank you. Just, I love your topic, and I hope more people call in and fill in. I'm also a grandmother in an open adoption. And so that was a heartbreaking experience. But to be a birth grandmother and get to watch this little granddaughter grow up, but also know that her family of now, you know, is much, much bigger. And eventually I may play a better role, a bigger role. But right now my role is watching, connecting when we get a chance, and standing back.
So are you a natural grandmother then?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting too, because you'll be out there ready, right?
Yeah, and she knows us, which is wonderful. She gets to know us and meet with us. And so there's never any ambiguity about where she came from. And she knows we love her. And but it's definitely different. I can't just call up, show up, and
You just remind me that, you know, I'm a grandmother too, and you just remind me that being a grandmother has a kind of a mystical, magical thing to it. Even if somebody has, my grandson has saw his great, my dad, three times, I think, before he passed over, and he, that memory of that great grandfather is very powerful in his history. You know what I mean? Because there's something, some mystique about that grandparent, right?
Do you mind if we let a Kathy from Virginia join us? Join right
I'll
in
let
with
Kathy
you
from Virginia better come in. And Stacy, you're precious, and thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
You.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, Kathy. Hey, Kathy. How are you?
Listening to you.
Yeah.
You know, I tuned in late, and that's my normal. And I listened to the lady speak to relationships and how family relates. And I guess the thing that sticks out to me is we're a small family. My mom, myself, my husband, Toby. I have two sons, Matt and Mark, and a daughter-in-law, Shalise. And I look so oftentimes on social media, TV, whatever, we see 15, 20 people around a table, and that's the way that this really sticks with me. This is family. This is family. This is the grandma, the grandpa, the great-grandma, the great-grandpa, the grandchildren, all of that.
And you don't have
there's
that.
Something about that vision of what I see on TV or on commercials or wherever that downplays our small family in my mind. I feel that we don't have we do have it, but it's, I think, social media, TV, whatever, is presenting the family unit as this massive unity where everyone's smiling, everyone's getting along. We don't have hidden agendas. Mom, can I borrow $20?
Yeah,
my brother sucks. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, like I said, I turned into this radio show tonight late, and family. When I'm looking at the family unit, I've always, for so very long, because we are small, I have no brothers or sisters, and the unity is small. Mm-hmm. So when I hear these other ladies talk about the family unity and distortion and whatnot, I think we don't have that in our family. Mm-hmm. We just have the small version.
But I think that's very rich because it's a sort of a stable force, is it not? I mean, isn't that one of the things about family that's really important?
Family is.
Here's another thing is I have a kind of a strange, not estrangement, but I don't see my siblings very much. But it's funny, I don't know if you ever get this, but I get this pull every now and then to just connect. And I really feel there is that draw into the family that a lot of us feel, even if it doesn't look logical or it doesn't look comfortable. I think that that might even be about love. What do you think? Or is that something to think about?
Yeah, I just think, you know, around Thanksgiving, you're seeing all these commercials and there's all these, you know, 14 people at a table and everybody's happy. It's, you know, that's not realistic.
Well, that's not your family. It's not mine.
It's not. And we're a team of six. And we are a team. And we're very much loving and supportive of one another. But we're not that, if you will, traditional view. And I think that's such a misconcept.
I think it's a myth that's being perpetrated. I've got lots to say about that.
I think it saddens people deeply. I think it's kind of like the when you see the Santa Claus tree and blah, 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 and you've got all of this stuff under the tree, and then for the majority of Americans or people in the world, you know, that's just such a misconception. I mean, it just, that really sours me.
Yeah.
I don't like
it. It's not what it's about.
No, it's not. And I don't really know. I think it's home and hearth more than
numbers and
gifts. Who's at the table? Who's carving the bird? Dad screaming, mom screaming, you know, da 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 da.
This is a fun
radio
way to
show.
Kind of
you are one amazing woman. I really appreciate you. And
thank you.
No, I'm not. It's not for your grace. It's for you are a very genuine woman, and you're very helpful in life's journeys.
Thank you so much, Kathy. And thank you for ending this show with me, because it's something to think about, what we bring together in the family is the deeper feeling, not about the other trimmings that might be artificial. It's real, isn't it?
It is. It is very real. And it's something we will miss when it's not there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bless you for calling in, and I'll have to say goodbye or they'll hook me off stage here. You know how they do.
Oh, am I the last caller?
Yeah, you are.
Virginia, my time is all off. So thank you, Veronica. I enjoy your radio shows always.
Thank you, Kathy. Bye. Well, it's really interesting. We did a bit of a broad spectrum, sweep around families. And I think that getting along of any two people is probably a challenge. And I think there has to be kind of a dedication in doing it. And maybe a lot of us these days see how that dedication is missing, maybe because of distraction, maybe because of soul journey. But I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor, and I keep thinking, I think there's something rising in us all that's reaching for a higher level of existence. And as we said to, I think it was Amber, that as that rises up through us, it can literally push aside somebody who might have been comfortable with you being at a lower level. But I do feel that there is a shift going on. So I want to say to everybody, yeah, reach up with your mind as a sculpting tool and send those lights back and forth up through your body, and send thoughts and lights to other people too, and watch them calm down, even when there are times of distrust or misery. Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle saying thanks so much. It was a real pleasure speaking with you tonight. And I love to think about all of you and your families and the amount of light everybody shared. Thank you so much. And I'm VeronicaEntwistle.com if you want to be in touch. Take care.